While all South Australians are facing the state election this Saturday, First Nations residents in the state will also be voting for the 12 members of the SA Voice to Parliament. This weekend will be just the second election of the state voice, which has faced some criticism for being ignored and ineffective. Community Radio Network political reporter Noah Seckham has the story.
Just last week in Canberra, a delegation of Indigenous elders and environmental experts were calling for the listing of bufflegrass as a weed of national significance as it spreads across central Australia. Among the group was Zibian Fielding from the APY lands in northern South Australia. When asked about the role of the South Australian Voice to Parliament in advocating for this issue, Mr. Fielding suggested it isn't in a place to do so yet.
I think with the Voice to Parliament with SA, I think they're still working out what their direction is, so I won't comment too much, but they should be certainly a platform where we should raise, you know, state-based issues around environmental impacts, all sorts of infrastructure and economic growth, but we haven't had that opportunity because of, I guess, they're still establishing on what their platform's about.
But there is a deep optimism and pride in the South Australian Labor government that the state voice to Parliament has been a success. Deputy Premier and Aboriginal Affairs Minister Kyam Ma says it was heartbreaking to witness the tenor of the debate of the 2023 Federal Voice referendum.
I'm really pleased that we had already legislated for our First Nations Voice to Parliament, the first of its kind anywhere in Australia. There have been dozens of areas where we've received advice already from representatives from the First Nations Voice. There have been a suite of legislation that we have changed because of that the advice that we've received.
When the state-based voice was legislated back in 2023, it was considered the first step towards a statewide treaty. Minister Ma says he is keen to move ahead on this front in a second term of government.
I don't think we would ever say that within the next 4 years there'll be full and final settlement as part of treaty discussions, but it's certainly something we hope to continue and make headway with over the next 4 years.
But across the political divide, the SA Liberals aren't convinced the voice is the right outlet to platform First Nations concerns. Shadow Deputy Leader Josh Teague says his party would abolish The Voice, which he says is a defective model.
A model that was set up to be limited in its functions, limited in terms of its capacity to engage in any meaningful way with the Parliament. It's called a voice to Parliament, and there's a right for Aboriginal people to have a representative stand up on the floor of Parliament and contribute to a debate. That hasn't even looked remotely like happening.
Mr. Teague says the voice has replaced bodies which had the capacity to do productive work.
The parliamentary committee that existed before that had the possibility to compel evidence, it had the benefit of parliamentary privilege, and could engage as between elected members of the Parliament and leaders of Aboriginal communities across the state. Now, it's just one of many pieces in the puzzle. And the money, by the way, that is committed to the voice structure can be better deployed elsewhere.
But Kyam Ma says this funding argument isn't reasonable. He says the voice has recommended building a 30-bed bail facility with wraparound support services in an effort to save money and help the community.
It costs over $100,000 a year for a remand prisoner. So you're looking at, it's about $3.5 million a year if you had those 30 people, Aboriginal men, on remand. I think you're saving about $1.6 million a year by doing something that is better for the treatment and better for the well-being of the people who would otherwise be on remand. The whole voice costs $1.5 million a year. So just listening to that one single bit of advice has paid for the whole operations of the voice each year. So yeah, even if you're a right-wing economic rationalist, you should be in favour of the voice just for that one bit of advice, let alone everything else.
We're nearly 3 years on from the national referendum on a voice to Parliament, and federal MPs aren't convinced the South Australian model has worked. Liberal Senator and former Shadow Minister for Indigenous Affairs, Karen Little, says some communities are still being overlooked in consultation.
And one of the challenges we have in the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community is preferred group of people that are consulted to death on issues, as opposed to casting the net wider and actually creating opportunity for others who have expertise to participate. That's what I'm particularly interested in, is if you're going to consult You need to consult with a broad range of people, not just people who sit on Aboriginal community-controlled boards.
Meanwhile, Independent Senator Lydia Thorpe says the Voice in South Australia and the truth-telling and treaty actions in Victoria have failed to deliver change for First Nations peoples.
Yes, it's a healing process that we can go through, but what are the consequences? What is the justice outcome that our people must have when we're going down this path?
Federal Independent Senator Lydia Thorpe ending that report on the South Australian Voice to Parliament election by Noah Seckham.